So good evening and welcome everyone. And we just had a Katina last week and we're so busy, you know, we're from morning and we're busy because of we have to chant our Patimokkha in the morning. Normally we do that, but because of the Katina we can't do it and then we have to do it in the evening. So, and then we have to sew our ropes, we have to finish the rope that day, you know, we offer a rope, a material, you know, that we need to sew. And you see, this life, isn't it, it's busy all the time. I'm sure that some of you have been busy, isn't it, been working, and, you know, you try to find time to come here to listen to a talk. And this part of life, and I see that most people have the mentality, the things that, you know, they want to get things out of the way. You know, I finish up things, then I'll be happy ever after. So I have to rush from one thing to another. I see people don't have one moment of peace. They rush from one thing to another. They try to finish up things. So I used to tell people, if you can finish your job, you'll be jobless. Who can employ you if you can finish your job? You know, but it's ongoing. It's part of life, you know. It's not going to end. We think that we can end our suffering. You know, life is not like a straight line. You've got the beginning, you've got the end there. It's not like that. You think that, oh, I finish off, then, you know, I get all the things out of the way. I solve all my problems. I fix all my problems. Then I'll be happy ever after, you know. Then I can shake leg, you know. I can enjoy my life. Life is not like that. It's just that the Buddha described how's life, how's the samsara, all this, the whole cycle of birth, you know. It's just like he said, you threw a bucket into a well, it's up and down. Sometimes it hit the side, it's go round and round. This is how our life, ups and down, round and round. It's never end. You know, sometimes we think they try to end, you can never end. I remember the first suttas when I read, I think many, many years ago, I was still a lay person. And then they talk about these two brothers. The older brothers want to become a monk. Then he wants to show his younger brothers that, okay, I'm going to become a monk. So you have to do all my job, you see. So because the brother is the one who run the household and he's look after the whole, because they have a lot of petty feud. So he said, you have to learn my job because I'm going to become a monk. You have to take over my job. So he showed his brother. So he said, okay, first, you need to plow the land, and then you need to fertilize, and you need to sow the seed, you know, and then that is grow, then you need to harvest. And then the brother kept asking him, when is it going to end? He said, no, after harvest, you know, then you need to take it to the market to sell, you know, you have to sell it. Then he said, so when is it going to end? No, you have to prepare for next year. It's not going to end, you know. So he said, when is it going to end? No. Then he said, oh, then I better off become a monk, you know. You stay back. So it ended up the younger brother become a monk, the elder brother stay back. It's life is like that. It's not going to end. Sometimes we rush from one thing to another. And now because of that, our mind to have a moment of peace. And we just can't, you know, it's always distracted, isn't it? And we don't see, we don't understand that. They say sometimes why we suffer, because we don't understand life. We don't understand the nature of suffering, the cause of suffering, the way to end the suffering. So we keep thinking that we want to end things outside us. You know, we think that we want to fix everything, then I'd be happy. It can never be fixed. It will never end. And they say nowadays that people are so impatient, they want things happen yesterday. You know, sometimes they immediately so impatient because of the drive. The minds become so busy. They start nowadays that, you know, that because it's so busy, it's because of because we are living in this technological, culture, you know, like, you know, everybody, you know, we, in the olden days, you know, the main suffering people have, like, we don't earn enough to eat, you know, to live, and then we will worry about not enough food. But nowadays, people worry about no Wi-Fi, you know, isn't it? The first thing, you know, it's okay. They worry about no Wi-Fi. The first thing I have someone parents that don't want to come and stay at a monastery. He worried about no Wi-Fi in the monastery. They said no, because I said yeah, you can ask your family come and stay. You know, we say yeah, come and stay in the monastery. No, because it's a monastery, no Wi-Fi. So now we can't live without Wi-Fi. Isn't it? Last time, you know, that's the main hardship in life, that is not enough food, isn't it? And this is how, because it really drives us, because we keep feeding it, the mind is just so busy. So we don't have one moment of peace. We can't stop. And it becomes a habit. And in everything, people now this one instant. You have instant noodles, they have instant coffee, you know, everything 3-in-1, a shortcut. People are shortcut. I remember sometimes someone asked to ask for a meditation technique, you know, that you know you can do it at the, you know, the last moment. You say, any meditation that I can do, like you know, when I'm about to die and I do that meditation, then I can have a good rebirth, you know. I said, no such meditation, you know, because we all want shortcut. There's no shortcut, you know. I said, you have to practice, you have to train your mind. You cannot say, last moment I tried to pull out, and remember there was a story about this Vaisak Buddhist. And he went to the temple for the Vaisak celebration, and then he heard the monks talk about the last moment, you know, that is important. You know, if the last moment, if you think of something good, then you will have a good rebirth. So he said, if you think of the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, that is best, you know, you remember the Buddha, last moment thoughts the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, then you have a good rebirth. And then this Vaisak Buddhist, he's so very stingy. He said, oh, he comes up with a brilliant idea. He's thinking that, okay, I got a brilliant idea, and I don't even have to go to the monastery. I don't even have to give any donation. I save all that, you know. All he needs to do, he went back, and he renamed his 3 sons. The first son, Buddha, second son, Dharma, the third son, Sangha. So, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. So, okay. So, he renamed Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. So, and then life, years gone past, and then he was on his deathbed, and then he called his 3 sons Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So he looked at Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Oh, exactly happened what his plan, you know, that's happened. Then he looked at Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and suddenly he realized, he said, 3 of you here, who is going to look after the shop? And that moment he died. Sometimes you can't change your habit, isn't it? You can't even change overnight. It's just so ingrained, you know. And this is how we always want, we think that we have this instant, you know, we can we try to look for this instant solution, you know. We don't have to work hard, you know. And then because the mind is just like you training the mental muscles. It's the same as you train up your physical, your muscles. Can you build your body within one day? Is there any shortcut, any instant method that you can have your muscles, you know, within one day? You can't, you know. But I just sometimes like this, it's very funny, people ask all this, you know, it's very funny, you know. I mean, they ask you all these, like, things that is just like, you think that it's a bit silly, you know, like, you know, and we just don't understand, because they just don't understand that, because we believe that we'll be able to outsmart, we can control, but actually we can't, you know, we think that, you know, actually we cannot control the world, we cannot, actually life itself is really beyond control, we really actually really don't know what is going to happen next. But actually, we have to train our mind how we relate to the world. It's not try to fix all the problem in the world. We can never fix the problem in the world. You know, that's why sometimes, like, you know, like people on the deathbed, and then the another things like people will ask the priest to come for the last rite. You know, I remember there was this person on his deathbed, and then the family asked the priest to come to give him the last rite. So the priest come to a sin stand at his deathbed. Then he's his bed. Then he was, he wanted to talk, and then he wanted a piece of paper. So he quickly, they said, quickly, give him a piece of paper and a pen. Then he write down. So the moment he wrote down, and then he died. Then the priest didn't look at the piece of paper. He put his into his pocket. And then at the funeral, then the priest gave him a sermon, and then he just remember that, oh, there is a note, there was a piece of paper that, you know, that the this person has written something on the piece of paper. He said, oh, I remember there is a note that, you know, written by so and so, and must be something inspiring, you know. So he pulled out the note, he read, and he said, excuse me, you are standing on my oxygen tube. So much of a last rite, isn't it? Diabetes pastor. And this is how, like, sometimes it go on, and actually, like, you non-stop. You're not going to finish. We think that we getting out of the way, then we'd be happy ever after. No, that's why we don't understand life, you know. And then sometimes we have people, like complain to me, like, you know, that really bother them because they said something that you know, that maybe upset someone. Then this person said to me, just recently, someone said to me that, you know, I know that, you know, I shouldn't have said something, but it's not intentional. It's just like unintentional. I said something, offended someone. And I already apologized, and I told the person, I'm sorry, this person said I'm apologized. And the person refused to forgive her. And then she told me, and it's really bothered me because I already apologized. Why can't she forgive me? Then I look at her. I said, why he should forgive you? Isn't it? It's up to him whether he wants to forgive you. It's his business, I said, you know. I said, you did your part. You do your part. You ask for forgiveness. You know, I've said something unintentional, you know, that upset you. Then you say, you ask for forgiveness. You do your bit. You know, whether he wants to forgive you is his business, isn't it? I said, we cannot impose on others just because that I ask for forgiveness, you know, then you should forgive me. I said, it's up to that person. I said, we do our part. We know that, you know, I'm sorry that I've said something that offended you. Yeah, I'm sorry, you know. But if the person refused to accept your apologies, it's that person's business. And then she keep thinking about it and get so upset about that. This is how, you know, that we this is how that the suffering that actually we created for ourselves, you know. We created for that, you know. I said, it's okay. You know, that's part of life. You know, what do you expect? You know, no matter what you do, someone is going to criticize you. Someone is going to blame you. You know, you don't always got praise, isn't it? If people criticize you, no matter what you do, it's like for me, in my position, it's just the nature of this position, you always will get criticized, complain, and you can't please everyone, you know, I can't please everybody, you know. So I said, as long as I know that I do my best, you know, that's why I keep telling my nuns, I keep telling them, I said, I can only do my best, you know. I cannot do better than best, you know. If you expect, you know, if you think that it's not good enough, sorry, too bad, you know. This is what you get. You know, sometimes you have to be honest to oneself. This is my strength. This is all. We have our limitation. This is all I can do. I say we can only do our best, you know. And because this is part of life, you know, no matter what you do, you know. Of course, yes. Sometimes we do silly things in our past, you know. And of course, now sometimes when I look back, you know, that's, if you ask me, you know, now I will do it differently. But that time, my wisdom is only there. That's all I know, isn't it? My level is there. Of course, I cannot expect myself better than that, isn't it? So I said, it's okay, you know. We do silly things. And I know just recently someone said to me that, because of this person, in the past have done, he said, lots of silly things, and she carries lots of guilt, and is again and again, comes up again and again. And she said, I understand. And she told me that, I understand that, you know, like we don't carry the guilt, you know, we forgive ourselves. But can't help it. It's again and again beating oneself up, feeling so bad about oneself that, you know, they carry the guilt, you know, that the past, that, you know, what have, you know, the all the silly things that we have done. So I said, it's already, you know, I said, we cannot undo, isn't it? It's already done. So that's why sometimes we just recognize that, you know, not to beat oneself up, and also to accept that, because because that, like, for example, I used to ask people not, I used to tell people not to blame their parents, even though maybe they've been abused, or because sometimes the parents also being conditioned. You know, this is what they know, isn't it? It's the same thing. How I bring up my son is based on how I bring up my, you know, how my conditioning, isn't it? How my parents brought me up, isn't it? Then this is what I learned from my parents, and this is how I bring my children up, you know? Then I don't know, I can only do what I know. I can't do things that I don't know. And this is all I know. So that's why I say sometimes, you know, parents, how they bring us up is because how their parents bring them up, and their grandparents and great-grandparents. And this is how it's been passed down. So we say, you know, you just forgive yourself, like, you know, we all do silly things. I say, we all have gone through that. So we don't carry that, we forgive ourselves. That, you know, that is already passed. Because if we keep, you know, beating ourselves up, actually, we keep reinforcing that, you know. So we exercise, you know, compassion and forgiveness towards oneself. We forgive ourselves. And yes, we, you know, that's we accept ourselves, that, you know, that where we at that time, you know, that's all I know. But if you ask me now, I said I will do it differently. You know, how I bring up my son, you know, if now, I will do it differently, you know. But that time, you know, that's all I know. A lot of people say, oh, only if I were to come to know the Dharma, I would not do this. I said, not, no more if. I said, that is already past, you know. And that, I said, that moment that, you know, that's all you know. You know, that's your level of your wisdom, isn't it? I said, it's okay, you know. And also, someone said to me that they feel so bad about themselves, and that because of a lot of jealousy. Then I look at the person. I said, yes, you have jealousy. Then so what? I said, and just to be just honest, you know, because she feels so bad about herself that she have lots of jealousy, and she thinks that it's really bad to have that, you know. So I said, you don't judge yourself, you know. You just, yes, just to be honest, you recognize that, yes, at this moment, I feel that, you know. And you recognize that and acknowledge. It's not to pretend that, not to run away and push it away. No, I'm not, you know. Or try to justify. I'm jealous because of, you know, this person is terrible, and this person this person is so nasty to me, and this person do not deserve that. You know, we try to justify. We don't justify. It's okay. Yes, I'm jealous now. You know, recognize that. Yes, I'm jealous now. We recognize that, and we accept who we are. You know, then we forgive. We accept, forgive, and we let go. And just to be honest to oneself. And because whatever arising this moment, you know, the mind, the development of awareness and mindfulness comes from experiencing things with a silent mind. We experience that, just be with what's happening in this moment, but not thinking about it and adding on, you know. This is sometimes we go on and on and on and on, you know. And this is, you know, this is how we create our inner world. It's like the Buddha said, you know, we are what we think. All that we are arises with thoughts. And with our thoughts, we make our world. So sometimes we develop that mental happy chair pattern. If you develop that mental happy chair pattern, that's finding mind. then you always find fault. If you want to find fault, you always can find fault, isn't it? And that's it. And when you know when you keep finding and you keep complaining, and that is a negative energy. And sometimes we tend to justify. I remember someone sometimes ago, someone said to me, and this person very much into energy. She always said, oh, I have to choose the place and I have to choose my friend, you know. I have to avoid people that have very bad energy, that have negative energy, you know. Then I look at her and then I said to her, it's not those people having negative energy affect you. You sucking up to that energy. I said, the moment you think of the person bad, the person has negative energy, you yourself already negative. And then you think that, you know, you think that other people affecting you. I said, no, you sucking up to others, isn't it? I said, you yourself sucking up, you know, to others' energy. And then you blaming other people that having this negative energy is because of you, because of that. We tend to justify because we don't accept who we are. We don't accept, you know, we always running from, you know, facing ourselves, and then especially with the thoughts, you know, then this is how we create our world. It's just like the Buddha said, you know, that's with the thoughts, you know, we manifest words. So with the words, you know, so with our mind, you know, when the thoughts, we have this inner chatter, isn't it? We talking to ourselves, this little voice telling us all sorts of story. Then after that, we will develop into action, deed, isn't it? We react. We add a point, our thoughts, you know, and then all the little voice telling us what to do. Then, if we repeatedly doing the same action, and it becomes a habit, isn't it? When our habits become hardened, it becomes a character. So it depends that, like, someone that, you know, that you always, you know, you have a fixed views of others, and you develop the kind of how you view others, you know. So if someone is negative, whatever, no matter what you said, it still go through that person, it's become negative. I come across people that, you know, that is just finding, and they're just negative. Whatever I said, it just sometimes it's not right. Whatever I said is not right. And you try to clarify, they said you try to cover. And you keep quiet, they said you admit. So what can I do, isn't it? This someone's life is like that, you know. So what can you expect? What do you expect this part of life, you know? They said sometimes the only way we stop our suffering, actually, to stop our inner world. You know, the inner world that we create. Sometimes things is just as simple as that, but we have a lot of story about, you know, the mind go on and on and on, you know. Think about what this person said, that person said. It doesn't matter what other people said, it's their business. Isn't it? Whether you're happy with me or don't have, you're not happy with me, or, you know, whether you praise me or you criticize me, it's your business. And we cannot control how people think of us. So we are not allowing other people to control our life, you know. And because of this, the thoughts, you know, that we go on and on and on. And then we never stay present. The mind always revisiting, you know, what's happening and beating ourselves up, you know, and the mind, you know, the mind go on and on and on non-stop and become develop a habit. When it becomes a habit, it's very difficult to change, you know. Even sometimes we're aware of that, we can't stop ourselves doing it. So the only way that we can stop ourselves is to develop the clarity. Practice present moment awareness, because we never present, you know. So we always, you know that we always, you know, that we because of, especially with unpleasant feeling, unpleasantness, we either run away or we pretend that it's not there. We push it aside, you know. So we pretend that it's not there, or I can't stay here, you know. But actually, you know, even though we suppress it, when we suppress it, actually we reinforce that tendency. It becomes stronger and stronger. and we can't help it. And actually, the best way is to stay. You know, whatever we present, whatever we experience in this moment, you know, because the thinking itself is a concept. When we think, you know, we think about it, and with all the storyline, you know, and sometimes things that we see might not what we think, isn't it? You know, that's why sometimes that, you know, then we go on and on and we got upset with others, you know. And sometimes you can see from ourselves sometimes, isn't it, that little thoughts pops up, you know, and then the mind go on and on and on with the thinking. And then when the thoughts end, the thoughts is not relevant at all. You know? The mind can so go so far, you know, and we create all this suffering out of nothing, you know. Sometimes it's just sometimes thing is just as simple as that. Yes, that person said nasty thing to us. Is that person problem? I don't have to accept. Isn't like the Buddha said, if someone, you know, give you a present, you know, that he said, no, I'm not accepting it. You know, so not to allow others. I mean, it's easy to say and done, but that's why we have to develop the clarity that not to react. Because the Buddha said, an untrained mind often reactive. It react very quickly. It's okay that we can responsive, it's okay, but not reactive, isn't it? We react to that with the anger, and then, you know, that sometimes so much anger, we feel so upset, you know, and then we think that our problem is come from outside, unable to see that where the suffering coming from. So when there is a contact, feeling arises, pleasant, unpleasant. So we always get affected by pleasant and unpleasant feelings. But normally neutral feelings, normally we feel bored. But actually, neutral feeling itself actually is pleasant. But because of, it's just neutral. Because our mind is not refined enough to see the happiness, to see the joy in that neutral feeling. Because it's very subtle. It's just like, you know, I used to, you know, people used to offer me tea. But I can tell you, I don't have refined a taste bud. To me, tea is tea. Whatever tea you give me, it all tastes the same. Because I don't have a refined taste bud. You know, it's just like someone have very refined. It's just like the mind, when your mind is refined, you can see the difference. But usually, we get our energy from doing, from the desires, you know, because that gives us the energy. But this kind of energy actually is drain you, you know, and it's drain, you use up lots of mental energy. That's why people like thinking. Thinking itself gives them a lot of pleasure. They don't have to, you know, they give them the joy, you know. But the kind of joy and happiness actually you have to pay back. It's just like you borrow money, you have to pay back, and also you have to pay interest. It drains, use up lots of mental energy, the thinking part, you know, fantasizing, you know, thinking of, you know. And we don't want to stay in the present because this is how we run away from present moment awareness, because of sometimes that is especially the unpleasant feelings and also pleasant feelings. And pleasant feelings, we have great, we start to think that, you know, how can I make this last? So the moment you think that how can I make this last, you're already not experiencing that moment, isn't it? You're already not experiencing things in that present moment, you know. If we be able to experience things, you know, with a silent mind, just aware, just watch, and we will realize that even the thoughts of, you know, thinking about the past, the future, actually it's happened, the thoughts actually in this moment, isn't it? In present, isn't it? It's still in this present. But our mind is, that because of the thinking itself, use up lots of mental energy. Because sometimes people think too much, and it's really tired. And sometimes the thinking so much until that you cannot stop the thinking. And people ended up even can't sleep. It's just like a vehicle, you know, always constantly travel on 200 kilometers per hour. You can't stop. That's why if you want to stop that, You have to train ourselves in our daily life. First thing, try to slow down. Slow down all your activities. Try to slow down. And sometimes people eat so fast, they can't even really taste what they're eating. You know, slow down. While we're eating, we try to slow down. Whatever we do, we try to slow down. Slow down first. Learn to stop. So if we really want to end our suffering, we can't end things outside. But really, you know, we have to stop our inner world. Because how our inner world, you know, actually is how we look at outside world is how our inner world. If someone is really negative, whatever you see is negative. I come across people that, you know, even think that you praise that person, it's a compliment, you know, you think that it's a compliment, but to that person is an insult to that person. You know, you just cannot control. So because sometimes we think that we can manipulate, we can control, but life we cannot control, you know. But we can develop our own mind. We train our mind, you know. We develop the clarity. We develop our mindfulness awareness, you know. Be able to really stay, you know. Because we always like to run away from things. When we run away from things or we try to suppress, actually we are building up the energy. And that will become more and more intense. That's why sometimes people become insane, you know, just because over just a small thing. And sometimes people think that it's not that incidents really, you know. Sometimes people, you know, like for example, people just argue over small thing. That is just a trigger because of the building up of that energy, that unresolved emotion that's been building up. It's just like you're putting a bomb, you carry the bomb with you. And depends on who is the one the trigger actually is the one who lead the bomb. And it just explode. And that's why if you don't know, if we have no clarity, we are unable to see that. And because it's out of habit. The other day, someone said to me, you know, my mom, she's so unmindful. She told me that she drives to work. She don't know how she get there. She drive and, you know, because this is how we run off automatic pilot. But our mind, you know, how many of us really be able to really, you know, be present? You know, sometimes, yes, we are here, you know, we are washing dishes, but actually, we are not actually here. Our mind is somewhere else, you know. But because we are unable to see, there is certain tendency, you know. We cannot really solve our problem if we are unable to develop the wisdom, develop the clarity to see our underlying tendency. And to be able to see that, and be recognized, and acknowledge, and accept. Forgive, let go. And that's why first of all, we have to be able to recognize that, to see that there's a tendency. So that's why I keep telling you not to feel bad about yourself if you have any. Because I said, if you have no, someone said to me, I still have anger, I still have greed. Then I look at the person, I said, what do you expect? I said, if you have no anger, you have no greed, you have no defilement, you're no longer here. You already at least, I said, if you have no anger, you at least third stage of enlightenment or fully enlightened. You know? And this is how people expect themselves, you know. I said, no. That's why sometimes that the one of the Buddhas mentioned about one of the spiritual qualities, that's the truthfulness. Just being honest about that, this is how I feel. Sometimes because we identify this as bad, it's not good or bad. You know? Yes, if you feel anger, it's just anger. But how much we add on, that's the story that we add on. You know, if you just leave it alone, anger arises, pass away. You know, whatever arises, it won't stay forever. You know, even fear arises, if you leave it alone, you stay. I remember the first time when I stay with, I remember when I have lots of fear, and I remember that one of the teaching from the Buddha said, you stay with that fear. I remember I stay with the fear, and the fear go up to the max. It will bound to subside. It hit the max, it subside. And the moment the the moment, you know, when the fears go up to the maximum point, when it subsides, actually that is really a very nice experience. So much peace. And it's so incredible, you know, your mind is so peaceful and calm. You know, you experience that very peaceful, very calm, lots of joy. You let it be. Sometimes things will sort itself. But sometimes we think that we're so smart, you know, we want to try to control, we try to manipulate, you know. Actually, you leave things alone, you know, it will sort itself out, isn't it? You let it arise, you know. It wouldn't, you know, the fear or anger, whatever, it would not keep going. It's only keep going up. It's that when we keep reinforcing it, we leave it alone, you know. That's why even sometimes we go through life, maybe sometimes difficulties down, you know, maybe the worst thing happened, you know, it still passed. You know, we come across many people come to a monastery, they go through lots of difficulties in life. And then after a few years, they look back, oh, past, gone. But so even good, even wonderful experience is also past, isn't it? So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Makes no difference. Whatever you experience, whether it's a pleasant feelings or wonderful experience, it still won't stay. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. So that's why we learn to stay with that, you know. But because of its unpleasant, especially unpleasant feelings, we don't want to experience that, you know. But if you just, because of we identify this as bad and this is me, if you just leave it alone, you just, it's okay, you know. Unpleasant is just being unpleasant. You know, but how much we add on, that is the suffering. And sometimes we think that, you know, maybe I will do, this is how we keep coming back, because we don't see that actually it's come from our sense of self. You know, if we don't see that actually this is something that is not personal, but we tend to take it personally. We identify this is as me, this is as mine, you know. That's why. And then we think that, you know, this is me, I'm terrible. We identify ourselves with the experience as me and mine. And then, for example, this moment we feel agitated. So we think that we should, you know, so we should live up to our expectation that we will be agitated for the rest of our life. No, you know, depression comes, depression goes. It comes and goes. All this, you know, all the emotion, feelings, it won't stay. It never stay. It's not going to stay. But actually, we ourselves keep, you know, we revisiting, you know. We keep, you know, like, for example, someone said nasty thing to us. Actually, the moment the person finished, you know, actually it's gone, isn't it? But when we go back 1,000 times, you know, we repeat what the person said and we keep. And then we again we think about it and then we got upset, we got angry again. And this is how, actually, if you really want to solve the problems in life, actually, you look at inside. You look at how we react, how we relate to that this moment. So if we keep thinking that our problem is come from outside, we can never solve your problem in life. The problem in life actually that you can only solve it, you have to look in. Actually, a lot of the suffering is that we suffer unnecessarily. It's our own creation. We add all this adding up. You know, we create. It's just like the Buddhists used to set the second arrow that we add on. And then we go on and on and on. And this is how we keep reinforce that. That's why it's just like in the cycle of rebirth, because of we keep feeding it and we react. And like when we react to that emotion, then actually you are feeding it. You adding more fuel and we continue the burn. It will never end. It's just like life up and down, go round and round. It's not straight. So the only way we can break through is to stop. Stop, stay, just be present. But it's easy to say and done. To be present is difficult. It's okay. Sometimes we take it one step at a time, one moment at a time. If we be able to stop one moment, we have one moment of freedom. We have one moment of peace. Rather than we never stop, then we don't have one moment. You know, throughout, some people live their life is so busy, they don't even have one moment of peace. So at least we have one moment of peace, one moment of freedom. We free ourselves. If not, this is how that if we want to really, you know, stop our suffering, you know, we have to end inside. You know, we have to change the way how we relate to things. You know, it's how we relate to things. It's not what happening, it's really matter. So if we, this is how depends on how we look at things, isn't it? So that's why it's the outside world is actually how we look at outside world is come from the inner world. How you look at it. If you look at it in a positive way, if you think that it's not a problem, it's not a problem, isn't it? But if you think that it's a problem, I can guarantee you make it a problem. Isn't it? And you see what you want to see. You know, I have someone saying to me that, you know, oh, you know, I have a friend, and this person, after 2 years, I haven't seen this person, and this person, no, never changed at all, still the same. Then I look at her, I said, I asked her, I said, you think this person hasn't changed? I said, have you changed your perception of her? Isn't it? If you perceive that person this way, and especially we have these fixed views of that person, I said, even the person has changed, you still have to, because if you have the fixed view of that person, you will see it. You know, you see it because this believing is seeing. If you believe your views, you believe, you know. So sometimes usually people say seeing is believing, but to me it's that believing is seeing, you know. So somehow, you know, you see it, you know. And if you think that the person is like that, you know, I said, you think that that person hasn't changed? I said, first of all, you ask yourself, have I changed? Because sometimes how we develop as a perception of that person, and then from that perception, we develop a fixed view, where it's very solid and concrete, that, you know, that fixed views of that person. And the person, sometimes what we see, not necessarily what we think, isn't it? And then this is how we create whole lots of story and all the, you know, we all the storyline. We can even, all of us here, most of us here, we all very good. We are good writer. We can write books. That all, especially we have thoughts go on and on and on. You know, that's why if we want to truly stop our suffering in life, so we have to stop our inner world. Don't try to stop the world outside. And sometimes we think that we are smart, we try to outsmart, you know, then maybe I can change. Sometimes people think that they can change their life through, you know, it's just like, remember Neruda used to say that rearranging the deck chair of the Titanic. So sometimes we think that we arrange, sometimes we think that we change our life, you know, reaching that. Actually, sometimes we change this, change that, and then actually we go back to the original one, isn't it? Go on and on and on. This is how we try to outsmart, and then we think that we're so smart. So those cleverness will not solve our problem. Only develop wisdom. The wisdom comes from clarity. You know, that's why sometimes we think that, oh, outsmart and take advantage of others, you know, then we can solve our problem. No, it's only develop the wisdom. So that's why that this is the last turn. This occurred in my mind. I remember of the jokes. And this announcer that was interviewing professionals to be sent on a mission to Mars. So only one could go, and they wouldn't return to Earth. So the first applicant, an engineer. So then they asked the engineer, so how much do you want, you know, to be paid for going? So he asked for 1 million. So because I want to donate the money to MIT. And the second applicant is a doctor. So he asked for 2 million. He said, I want to give 1 million to my family and 1 million for this advancements of medical research. Then the last applicant, a lawyer. So then I asked him how much you want to be paid, you know. Then he can whisper in the interviewer ears, you know. He whispered, $3 million. Then he said, the interviewer looked at him, said, why is so much more than the other two? Said, you know, I give you $1 million, I keep $1 million for myself. We send the engineer there. We send the engineer to Mars. This is how sometimes we think that we're actually this cleverness, you know, is the cleverness will not solve our problem. That is only more greed, isn't it? That only create more greed, become more and more greedy, you know, taking advantage of others. Only the clarity, you know. Actually, wisdom is different from knowledge, different from the cleverness, you know. Wisdom come from the clarity. You only have the clarity when your mind stops, your mind becomes still, isn't it? Sometimes you can't see things while you're still moving. Until when you completely stop, you can see things more clearer, isn't it? The clarity. So that's why if you truly want to solve the problems in life, you have to develop your own wisdom and develop your own clarity to solve your problems in life. So I offer this for Dharma reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. Any questions and comments? Any questions or comments? No question. Anjan Ram used to say, the Buddha said, those who ask questions in next life, then you'll be more intelligent. You'll be intelligent.
It's a comment, it's not a question. I just want to say that you...
Okay.
There we go, it's working. Okay. Sorry. This is a comment, not a question.
Uh-huh.
I want to say that I think you explained that so beautifully that I can leave here with an insight to go and contemplate right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Any more questions? No questions? Okay. Oh, there's one. Rajam Ram's another at intelligent.
Thank you for the talk tonight. I want to ask one question. How do we apply this in the real world problems that sometimes we see that we do really need to solve the problems?
Okay.
For example, my husband playing games all the time. I'm so frustrated.
Okay.
So I find it very boring.
Okay.
That after work he come home, he play games, watching TV, and I've been complaining, nothing happened. Okay. Never change.
Okay. So how long you been complaining?
Since I get married.
How long you been married?
Almost 5 years.
5 years.
So yeah. I've been once threatening him and saying, I'm going to divorce you if this is not going to stop. But I'm not serious. But I find it like you say, it's very hard to change people. But at the same time, I feel abandoned somebody at home, especially it's like your husband, watching TV, playing games, and no life. For me, I never watched TV in my entire life before I get married.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden my habit changed because I adjust to his life.
Okay.
And I don't like it.
Okay. That's like, we have someone said to me that, you know, that she's been married for 24 years and the husband can't change. So I told her, after 24 years, why you bother?
Ha ha ha.
You know, actually, you know, some, that's why I always tell people that before you go into a marriage, you have to ask yourself, can I accept this person as the person is? I can't say that I only want this bait and I don't want that bait. You have to accept the person, isn't it? And never, never, ever think that you're going to change the person, shape the person, mold the person to the ideal husband or ideal wife. You'll be very disappointed. The only way that, you know, if you want to continue the relationship, to accept the person as the person is.
But if he keep watching TV, just playing game, what am I going to do?
Is he still like, he knows you that he's already like that? Before you got married and he's already, you know.
Well.
Do you aware of that before you got married?
No, I never know because I never lived together.
Oh, that's right. We covered up, isn't it? Then now you know what you get. And sometimes you can only do, you mean you try. Sometimes actually, you have to find that, you know, communication is important. Like the Buddha talked about the right speech. Right speech, you have to find the right time. If you always, nine, I tell you, email. Get used to it, you know?
I was, I think, account. In 5 years of my marriage, I cried 5 times talking about the same problems.
Yeah.
5 times about watching TV and games.
Yeah.
I said, I let you playing games, but 12 o'clock, you have to go to bed.
Okay.
But 2 o'clock, still games.
So, you know, first of all, yeah, communication, you try to talk to him. When you talk to him, is it when the Buddha talked about right speech, you have to be right time, right place, and the way you said, you know, it just come from very gentle and very soft and please, like the Buddha said, pleasing to the ears, you know, not something that is very harsh, you know, terrible. Why you do that again? You know, it's different. Okay, you say, okay, darling, you know, that, you know, I don't mind that you play game, but, you know, but sometimes I you know, you can spend some time with me, but not like with that harsh words, you know, that they said the Buddha said right speech, you know, right time, right place. Has to be true, you know, has to come from the kindness, not come from anger, and also beneficial. If he's not going to listen to you, then it's not the right time. So that's not the right time to talk. So the best time to talk when he's in good mood, you know, when he's very happy, in good mood, that's the right time to talk. And you can only do your best because changing ourselves is hard enough. To change other is very difficult. So it's easier to change yourself, to accept the way he is, and just let him be. It's easier that you try to change. It's very difficult. Like some people come to me like if they have drugs or a problem or whatever problem they have. And I look at them, I said that, you know, I said, I want to help. I would love to help you. But first of all, are you willing to help yourself? If the person not willing to help themselves, not willing to put an effort, you know, to come out of it, no matter how hard I try, it's not going to work. It has to come from him as well. You know.
How do I make it come from him?
Huh? Maybe just be patient, you know, be patient, maybe try to find a right time, right place to talk to him, and, you know, and try to, and to find out what others, or maybe you learn how to play games, so you can, you know. Then this is sometimes we ended up we just have to just accept the person as the person is. That's why sometimes I keep telling people that you have to think and ask yourself before you enter into a relationship. You ask yourself, can I really live with this person? Can I really accept this person as the person is, not thinking of changing that person? A true loving kindness, a true love is to love the person as the person is. It's not that I only love the good bit, the other bit I don't want. Then this is not true. This is not unconditional love. So yeah, it's difficult. Relationship is like that. You know, you have to, you know, you have to nurture, you have to, and also have to come from both sides. You know, so, and you know, you just have to ask yourself if you want to, you know, if you think that you want to continue with the relationship. If you can't change the person, then all you have to do is to accept the person is. It's difficult. That's why sometimes I keep telling people, you know, sometimes I just have to let go, let the person do whatever the person wants to do. And doesn't bother me. You know, this is, life is like that. Because we can't change. It's very difficult. But if you be able to accept the way he is, you know, that is where, you know, we learn to let go, you know. Of course, it doesn't mean that we are not trying. I'm not saying that we don't try. We try. We can do our best, you know, to try, you know, to do something, to try to talk to him, you know. But if you try, you know, if you have tried and you already do your very best, you know, but he refused to change, and sometimes it's very difficult. So sometimes the point that you give up, you know, just have to let the person be. But you can just try, you know, continue to try to find the right time, right place to talk to him, or to find something that both of you in common that you can do. You know, to find something that is he would love to do and you like to do. That's why it's important that you can find something that both in common. If both of you don't have the same values and the common the things that is in common that you like to do, it's quite difficult. Yes.
Hi, thank you for sharing that. I was just curious, you said to accept them. So is there a difference between accepting the person versus accepting their behavior?
Okay. So, yes, we don't accept that behavior, but we accept the person. We disagree with the behavior, but it's just like our child. We disagree with that. If they do something that is really harming others, it's not that we encourage that, we disagree with that, but we still love the person. That's the difference. You can disagree with what he do, but it doesn't stop you from loving him. This is how, when we say accepting, doesn't mean that we encourage them that, okay, you should do it. No, you know. We totally disagree. You can totally disagree with what he do, but you still continue to love him.
Okay. Hi. Yeah. Hi. You mentioned about how letting your emotions sort of be, and I guess, and then you talked about how basically often it's the story you tell yourself after feeling that emotion is what actually keeps that sort of anger or resentment or what to keep going. So I guess, how do you, I guess, I don't know if it's the right word to stop that, but is it just learn how to observe that in a sense? Like, because I agree with you, sometimes it can be a habit, you keep reminding yourself of the stories or trauma or whatever it is in your life, and you just don't stop, so...
That's why we have to develop that mindfulness when it is strong enough. The mindfulness is just like a light. It's bright enough that you'll be able to see. And it's so strong enough that you'll be able to stop. So it takes time to develop that. So unless, you know, it's very difficult to change our habits, you know, we keep feeding it, you know, we keep reinforce that tendency. We only can change when we have our mind is strong enough, our mind is steady enough to be able to say no. So sometimes it's just how, sometimes maybe we sometimes like we suck in a little bit and we realize it come out, and then we suck in, really come out, you know, it's okay. So all you need to do is to continue, because it's just like you have to develop a new habit, you know, not reacting. So it's just like you have to take a new channel. So before your new channel is not deep enough, your water bound to flow back again. So until when your new channel is deep enough, it definitely won't fall back. So it's just like you have to, like the Buddha said, we have to train our mind, to keep training. When the mind been trained, so the mind will not often, you know, the Buddha said, only untrained mind often reactive. Only when you become so steady and you become equanimous to you, whatever comes up to you is just nothing to do with you. You just let it come and it go. But to be able to do that, it takes lots of work, practice in order to be able to do that. But you can see that, you can see your progress. For example, maybe in the past you get stuck in, maybe you can write a book, you know, and then you start to develop a mindfulness and you still stuck in, but maybe you write half a book. Then actually you shorten your suffering, you lessen your suffering already, isn't it? Or things that used to bother you for days, you know, now bother you for a few days, you already lessen your suffering. It wouldn't go away immediately. You know, it's still there. So a lot of people expect that it's go away immediately. No, it's not going to go away. It's just like the ball will continue to spin if you keep kicking the ball. Even if you stop kicking the ball, it still spins. But the ball will become, because you don't put in new energy, the momentum, you know. Because if you continue to put in new energy, it will keep continuing to spin. But if you stop kicking, it will still spin, but it becomes very slow. Because no more new energy, and eventually it will stop by itself. So the practice is really slow. It's the Buddha said it's a gradual training. It's just like the building up your mental muscles is just exactly the same like we building up our physical body muscles. You know, you go for bodybuilding, you have to do it every day. You know, you have to train yourself. You have to do it every day. Does it make sense to you? Yes. To answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Venerable, for tonight. Yeah, I really, really enjoy your talks. You always inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
What helps me, and I belong to a group of people that we believe in chanting, that chanting, for instance, the lady that with the problem with her husband, that we chant for the husband, that we send, you know, loving chant, that we actually send kind messages. And often the chant, it changes the whole vibration because the chant is actually a sacred vibration. And by your intention, if your intention is that you really care for that person and you're caring for them, that they are actually doing something that's harming them or that's not, you know, not in their best interest, then chanting prayer, good intention, really does help. It actually helps to give you a purpose to help you change from being angry. If you chant, the anger stops. If you're, you know, whatever the feeling is, the chanting helps to change the feeling.
Chanting, you know, it works, but and have to be careful that you don't come with the intention that I'm going to chant and you're going to change. It doesn't work.
Don't change the person. You change the vibration. Yeah. You change the situation.
But I have to come from the intention.
This is what I'm saying. It's all intention. It's from your heart.
The intention
is from your heart.
Because we have some people used to come to me, they say, oh, you know, I do this loving kindness, it works, you know, it really works. And then after a while, they come to me, it doesn't work anymore. I said, of course it doesn't work anymore, because you have expectation. Because it works, And then you think that, okay, because it works, you know, so I continue to do that with that expectation of I'm going to do this and it's going to, you know. So yeah, it works. So it's like sometimes when the moment you have the intention of like, you know, change, I'm not saying you know, like some people, you know, when they, because they see that it works, and then they say, why, after a while it doesn't work. I said, of course it doesn't work, because you before you do that, you're thinking that, oh, because last time it worked. Then you already have the intention of doing it.
But it's conditioning. If you have a good conditioning, you're saying everything depends on conditioning.
Yes.
So if your conditioning is that prayer or chanting helps me to resolve my anger, then it's a very good intention.
Yeah, because sometimes that the because of the chanting, rather than you just latch on and go into the thinking, and because it's also a way to help you to develop your mindfulness, so you focus on the chanting itself, on the verses itself. Actually, it's a way, because the Buddhas also did mention this is one of the skillful means. You know, and yes, it's one of the skillful means to help us, to take us away from latch onto that thinking and
exactly.
Go on and
that's
on.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. So that's why, because sometimes people, when you start to have that little thoughts come in with that, you know, that intention of doing this to get that result. But if you're doing it unconditionally, you know, just happy to do that, just happy to chant, it doesn't matter, and it works, it really works, you know, yes. And I know sometimes people find that chanting, I remember some years ago when I was in Singapore, there was a lady, she do a lot of chanting, and she find that the chanting help her, because the chanting itself help her to focus, she can focus, you know, so, and then she feel very peaceful. And then she told me, someone tell her that you should meditate. And then she asked me, then shall I just meditate? And then I stopped chanting. I said, it's okay, you can continue to chant, then you meditate. I said, you don't have, like someone telling her that, as if that you have to let go chanting. I said, you don't have to let go chanting. You can continue to chant, and you become peaceful and calm, and then you can start meditate. But someone asked her to stop chanting just to do meditation. I said, it's okay. I said, as long, it's just like the Buddhist, it's just like Ajahn Chah used to say, whatever methods, whatever technique is not important. As long as it works, what kind of methods is not important. As long as it makes you peaceful, if you find chanting that makes you peaceful, it's okay, you chant. You know, it's different people, it's just different, you know. So that's why I told that lady, I said, you don't have to stop chanting. I said, you continue to chant, then after that, you meditate. Yeah, it's chanting is one of the skillful ways. I remember some years ago, when we do the normal chanting, so just the chanting, you know, then that day I was really, really focused, really, really focused with the chanting. You just focus with that, completely in the chanting. Then I look up, and then the one of the nuns sitting in front of me, then I was thinking, why she put the headlight on? But actually she didn't put the headlight on. Actually it's just the nimitta. Because they really focus, actually you have that. Nimitta actually is the reflection of your mind, when your mind becomes really focused and, you know, bright, you know. Actually it's any method is fine, you know. That's why I keep telling people, it's whatever meditation you want to do is not a problem. You know, you can do, you know, the technique is not a problem. Actually, it's attitude. It's important, your attitude, you know, towards, you know, what you are doing actually is important. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for your sharing. It's very good. So, any more questions or comments? There's a question. Then you can give this to me.
Thank you. Beautiful talk. My question is about, you mentioned that it's also in Buddha's teaching as well, when the fear arises, just stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted you to elaborate on that a bit. And I have a comment also for you because I've been there, so probably not a monk yet, but might help. All, I think, addiction and compulsive reactions to stuff, I think, comes from, at least for my case, it came from traumas and, attachments and suffering. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, probably next time just bring him here.
Yes, because the unpleasant feelings, the fear actually is very deep, because it's unpleasant, normally we develop the habit to run away. So that's why it's important that the first of all you have to practice present moment awareness and try to slow down, because without that clarity it's very difficult to stay with that unpleasant feelings. But it's okay, but at the beginning when the fear comes, you can do the breathing as one of the breathing exercise you can do. You take a 3 deep breath, you just breathing in fear and breathing out peace. Fear, breathing out peace. So you embrace the fear, you accept the fear, you make peace with fear. So you can do that. And because that stops you, because normally when the fear comes, it's always followed by thoughts. We think about that. And then the thoughts actually you reinforce, and you become more and more fearful. The more you think about it, you become more fearful. But when you take a 3 deep breath, breathing in fear, breathing out peace, then you make peace with that fear. Because most of the time we tend to push it away. We tend to, trying to suppress it, push it away. That is our normal reaction. Something that we don't like, push it away. So because fear itself is very unpleasant. So you can do that, because the 3 deep breath actually takes your mind away into thinking. It's just like a fire breaks, you take your mind away. So you're breathing in fear, breathing out peace, and you do that. And it helps you to calm your mind down. Then you try to stay. If the fear is still there, normally when you do that, the fear will subside a little bit. And then that is like manageable. Sometimes it's too fearful, it's not manageable. That's why you have to do that breathing in, that fear, breathing out peace. So actually, you make it more manageable. Then, that is a manageable that you can stay with that fear. So how long you can stay. So maybe you can stay, normally I suggest to someone 5 minutes, someone said to me 5 minutes too long. So okay, I said try 1 minute. Yeah. This is how, it's just like, it's a training. It's just like, if you never do weightlifting, you don't start with 100 kilos. You start with 1 kilo, isn't it? You do it. It's just like, it's something manageable, it's doable, So you try to lift, and then slowly you increase. So next time, the fear comes again, you do that, Do the breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in, fear. Breathing out peace, you make peace with that. But when you said to yourself, breathing in fear, breathing out peace, actually you put that imprint in your mind, that telling your mind that I'm making peace with that fear. Not running away, not try to push it away, not try to suppress it, but make peace with that fear. That put that imprint in your mind. So when you do that, and when the fear subside a little bit and it become more manageable. I know it's very difficult. The best way to resolve, that this emotion actually is to face it. But it's not easy. Unless your mind is strong enough, peaceful enough, calm enough, only you'll be able to stay. If your mind is not peaceful and calm enough, it's very difficult to stay. There's like of course, the Buddhas have other skillful means, like, you're into reflection. But when your mind is not peaceful enough, it's very difficult to do reflection. Actually, the reflection ended up with thinking. So that's why we try to ask people avoid that. the reflection contemplation only when your mind is peaceful. If your mind is not peaceful, you cannot contemplate, you cannot reflect, isn't it? Only when your mind is peaceful and calm, only you'll be able to contemplate and reflect. So you can do that breathing in, and when it's a subside and less fearful and it's manageable, then you try to stay with that fear. And when if you be able to see, you know, the arising and subside of that fear, and when the fear completely subsides, and when you have the experience of peace and really very peaceful and really calm, and then you started to develop your faith, your confidence in yourself, then when the fear comes, you become less fearful because you know that it's not going to stay. It will subside by itself. But you have to have the experience. Once you have the experience, you will develop your confidence and your faith in yourself. Okay, does this make sense to you? Okay. Yes.
I don't know if this is helpful or not, but I found that if you go back from fear and find the cause of it, usually the cause comes from attachment and clinging. So if you cling to something and attach to something, you get a fear of losing it. Could be anything. So if you go back and let go of the attachment, let go of the clinging, you'll find the fear just falls away. I don't know if that's helpful.
Because when your mind is not peaceful and calm enough, don't try to find out why. Because it's very dangerous, it will go into the thinking. Only when it subsides, then you can investigate. At the moment that happens, sometimes, because that moment is happened, your mind is not peaceful enough, not calm enough. And you cannot investigate. You can't investigate when your mind is not peaceful and calm. It's just like when we do investigation and contemplating, so we only do it after meditation. After when we are peaceful and calm, we have more clarity, then only we'll be able to see that. When our mind is not peaceful and calm enough, sometimes that is it's become a thinking, you know. And for example, I just give you an example. We have someone that, you know, she used to use this, you know, that she has a lot of anger towards her friend, one of her friends, and that's some of this misunderstanding that is unresolved, and she has a lot of anger towards this person. And normally she used to keep telling herself that, you know, oh, I remember what Ajahn Ram said, don't water the weed, water the plant, water the flower, water the plant, not the weed, you know. And she keep reminding herself. So each time when she do that, it subsides. And then she's been doing it for a long time. And one day, she said, poop, she explode. And she realized that actually, she's using that to suppress her emotion. That's the danger part of that, you don't see. She's using this as, if you just truly, you know, because sometimes, especially someone have this very strong habit, ingrained habit of suppressing, sometimes you don't even know that subconsciously you're suppressing it. So she and then she told me she realized that she used this to suppress her emotion. Like you knew one technique to suppress another. So it's not that the technique is a problem. It's not that it's a problem. If you truly reflecting and you're peaceful and calm enough to say that, okay, you know, don't water the weed and you water the plant, it's fine. But because of it's so subtle, she can't see that she has the very strong tendency of suppressing, and she uses it as a way to suppress. So sometimes we use certain, for example, some people quickly go and sit and force themselves to place the attention on the breath, and then actually they use this to suppress the emotion, but not just simply watch the breath. That is the difference. You come from that, just simply, it's not use it as a technique to suppress, is a different thing. So that's why sometimes one of the good things that you learn to do body awareness meditation, you bring, because mental object is very subtle. It's quite difficult to be able to see. You know, to be able to pick it up. But the body awareness, because when the emotion comes, for example, anger comes, you know, the emotion comes, actually sometimes it manifests in the body. We feel the tightness, we feel that kind of tense, we feel really tense. So that actually the body don't lie. Actually they send signals in telling us, okay, I'm not okay, you know, manifest. So you put you develop that you pay your attention onto your body, awareness of your body, how you feel. That also stop you, because feeling and sensation is a causal object. It's easier to watch compared to mental object. Mental object, the problem sometimes we suck in without knowing. That's a problem because it's very subtle. Then we tend to suck in without knowing because it's so subtle. And especially people have very strong tendency of suppressing things, and they don't see themselves doing it. Unless you don't have the strong tendency of suppressing, that's why sometimes it works for someone, it doesn't work for another person. Because different tendency, like people don't have the tendency of suppressing, then they, when they do it, it's okay for them. But someone have very strong tendency. For example, someone, like we tell someone, you know, like, okay, you relax. If someone is really slack, if you tell them to relax, you know, and if for someone they're very tense, you tell them, relax and relax more. And even sometimes we ask them to relax, they're still tense. Because they're used to the habit of really tense, you know. And if someone is really very slack, you tell them to relax, it works. You know, this is sometimes when the Buddha keep teaching, actually he addressed to certain people, and that, you know, that is for this, you know. And sometimes people try to apply, you know, to pull this out, you know, to apply on a different, you put it on a different context, it's actually different. You know, that's why sometimes people like to argue, oh, Buddha said this, Buddha said, because he addressed to a different group of people, different audience, you know. That's why sometimes things work for this person doesn't mean that it's work for the other person. It's not one size fits all. So that the different people have different tendency. So that's why it works for certain people, it doesn't work for another person. So that's why it's ultimately always, that's why the Buddha said we are our best teacher. We have to always understand ourselves first to see where is our tendency, you know. Then, that's why the Buddha said, we are our best teacher. We know for ourselves. Use our own discretion, you know. But, yes, we can try. If people give us any suggestion, we try. Okay, it doesn't work. If it works, we take it. It doesn't work, it's okay, you know. If we can just try, you know. Any more questions for me? No more? There's one question. Sometimes I feel metta for everyone around me, but impermanent. How can I sustain it? Of course, it's come and go. It's impermanent. Nothing stays forever. And don't try to sustain it. It come, you know, you just letting, you know, letting things be is letting go, you know, we just let it be, you know. If the matter comes, this is how I feel. And of course, it's just things that come and go. It's so normal. Don't try to sustain. The moment you try to keep it, actually you're controlling it. When you try to control, the matter will gone. You cannot control. Things just let it come naturally. It's okay. It's already good enough. Sometimes you feel metta for everyone around you. It's really good. It's good enough. That's why sometimes the like a common thing like people used to ask me, oh, I feel really peaceful and calm. What next? I said, no next. Because the moment you think next, you're no longer present, isn't it? So just let it be, you know. Sometimes I find nowadays people try too hard. So, actually, we have to let go of trying hard, you know. Just okay, you know. It's good enough, you know. Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, sometimes you feel loss of metta, sometimes you don't feel that, and you cannot try to make it sustain. it was sustained is naturally as you add. The matter can sustain is come from your purity. So you cannot artificially make it to sustain it, but the matter, the loving kindness come from your purity. As your mind become purer and purer, your matter will grow naturally. It's come from the purity. So it's not that you try to use any method to control, to make your metta stay. Your metta will grow naturally as your mind purified. As your mind become purer and purer, you have more purity, it's natural. It's grown naturally. You cannot control, you cannot manufacture, you cannot manipulate, you can't. You have to purify your mind. As you have more and more purity, your mind become purer and purer, and naturally you become kinder. It's natural. It's cause and condition. So cause and effect. You know, you have to put in the causes, but you can't make things happen. If we can do that, we all got enlightened long ago. You can't do that. Okay? So any more questions or comments? Thank you for all the questions, because I learn from, you know, from questions, you know. I may not really answer all your questions, but I'm doing my best. Okay, so that's it. Okay, good night.